Let me start off this morning's message by narrating a story that happened in the 11th century. In the 11th century, there was a king, King Henry III of Bavaria. He was so tired of his court life that he wished, and he approached the local monk that he wanted to relocate to the monastery. Because of all the busyness of his life, he wanted some quietness and relief from the numerous stresses in his life. He approached the monk and said that he wanted to do so. The monk replied, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard because you are a king." The king replied, "I understand. The rest of my life, I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." Then the monk replied, "Then I will tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." And when the king died, a statement was written. The king learned to rule by being obedient. And it's the same for us. When we tire of our roles and responsibilities, it helps to remember that God has placed us or planted us in a certain place and told us to be a good accountant or teacher or mother or father. Christ expects us to be faithful where he puts us, and when he returns, we'll rule together with him. So as we approach God's word this morning, I would like us to have this first question in your hearts and minds. Do you know what God is calling you to do for him? I think it's a very difficult question. It sounds simple, but how do we know what and where God is calling us to do his work for him? So in today's passage, God called Abraham. If you wish, you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapters 12 to 17. I'll be starting off with Genesis 12, where God called Abraham. And it's a journey of faith. All of us know in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, very famous verses, that God called Abraham. And we think it's very simple for Abraham, or Abram as he was known before God changed his name. So Abram was called, and then that started his journey of faith with God. And as you can look on the slide, he was called from the Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, and then from Haran to Shechem in Canaan, where God called him to go, and from Shechem to Bethel, from Bethel to Egypt, and then back from Egypt to Bethel, and Bethel to Hebron. And all of us can see there was a period of time, even after he reached Canaan, that somehow he ended up in Egypt. And why that happened, we will find out as we go on. So today's text, we will be going through the journey of faith, not the complete journey, because chapter 17 ends with in Canaan. And before Isaac was born, and that continues a journey of faith that Abraham had. So these chapters will show us that God is a faithful, covenant-keeping God. He kept his promise to Abraham in his life, and he used him to build the nation of Israel through him, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So there are three main points that I wish to cover for this morning. Firstly, as we consider God's call, not only in Abraham's life, but in ours, there are three main things that we need to keep note. Be responsive to God's call. Genesis 11, 31 to 12, 5. Be committed to God's call. Genesis 12, 6 to 17, 27. And be assured of God's call. So three main points. Be responsive, be committed, be assured of God's call. So before chapter 12, in the two verses in chapter 11, the last two verses, let me read for all of us the last two verses of chapter 11. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So when was Abram first called? It may be because it's mentioned in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 to 3. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan or Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." So the first call, evidently, God called Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. But why did he stop in Haran? Haran was on the way to Canaan. It's not mentioned how long did Abram stayed and settled down in Haran. But it's a fact that he stopped there. And God had to remind him in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." But the next question is, how did God call Abram? I think that's important for all of us, that as we follow God's calling in our lives, we need to know how will God talk or call us to do certain things for him. So how did God call Abram? Maybe he appeared in a vision or dream, as in Genesis 15, verses 1 and 12. Firstly, I need to help all of us to take note that it's not mentioned in Genesis 11 and 12. How did God call Abram? Read through the verses. It's not mentioned, obviously, clearly, how God called Abram. But we can extend it if we look at Genesis 15. It may be he appeared in a vision and dream to Abram. Or maybe in Genesis 18, verses 1 to 2, maybe he appeared in the form of a physical man and talked to Abram himself. But no matter what, when we come to today, obviously we cannot depend on visions and dreams, even though that may be how God may speak, but we don't look for them. Or if obviously it's also not, we don't expect God to appear in the form of a person and come to us and talk to us. Okay? So, how would God speak to us today? the acronyms C and S. I took it from somewhere. Commanding Scripture, the Bible. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And John 15:7 reminds us, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So, firstly is our dependence on God's word to lead and guide us. General principles that we need to turn to before we can know any specific thing that God is calling us to do. Be obedient to God's word, and God will guide you in any specific direction. Secondly is compelling spirit, the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. As you seek to follow God's call, this call would result, should result in joy and peace in your heart. As you go in certain directions, certain paths to do God's work and call in your life. Thirdly, counsel of the saints or the church. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, the people fail, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So you can seek the advice of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Ask them, what do they think of the direction you are taking, especially young people, your parents, older people that you respect and want to do your best for God. All of us are followers of Christ, and we seek to do and follow God's call in our lives. Help one another to do so. Common sense, fourthly, reason. Deuteronomy 32:28-29. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. God has given us wisdom. All of us are able to think, to reason in our minds. And we are able to use that common sense of ours, and with prayer as well, to determine what God wants us to do for Him. Lastly, and fifthly, circumstantial signs or providence. Signs of God's presence and leading throughout the way. As you engage in a certain direction, and doing God's will, if it's according to God's will, God's presence, God's peace, and God's leading will be throughout the way. So we come to Genesis 12:4-5. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Eventually, Abram reached Canaan after he had a stopover in Haran. So according to Zondervan Atlas of the Bible, from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran is about 950 kilometers. And they do not have cars, they do not have trains. And obviously they do not have planes to fly from one place to the other. They rode on donkeys or maybe camels in that time. That would really slow down the pace. 950 km, how long was that? It took Abraham at least 31 days if he did not rest along the way. If he rested, it will take longer. And the distance between Haran and Shechem, 640 km. That would take at least 20 days. This journey would be a bit more tiring because of the mountainous terrain from Haran to Canaan. So we hear of these two locations, or three. But let me focus on the first one, Ur of the Chaldees. It's mentioned in the Bible where Abraham came from. Ur was in the around the 2000 BC, the center of a wealthy empire that drew traders from as far off as the east, from the Mediterranean Sea, actually the west, you know, the east, and actually the west, sorry, my directions, west, the Mediterranean Sea, and then the east, west from 750 miles away, and the east even as far as 1,500 miles. So imagine it could be a bustling city like ours. It's mentioned in another source that it's around 100,000 people that dwelt in that city. Not as big as here, but considerably big in ancient civilization back then. 100,000 people dwelt in that city of Ur. Haran, even though not big, was a merchant outpost during the Assyrian Empire. It's along a trade route, so you can get various valuable commodities. Merchants would come and trade and maybe along the way to somewhere else. But the important part, the important point that I wish to point out, when we think of the Ur of the Chaldees and Haran, these are points that Abraham could, and all his family, could feel comfortable. They feel they are in a comfortable setting. They will feel the inertia to move away from such a place. So it's important that Abraham heard God's call. Go, go. Go to Canaan. Go to this place that I've called you to. And Abraham most likely did not know what Canaan was like and where, which part of Canaan that God would call him to settle in. And it's the same for us, that God calls us out of our place of comfort, situation of comfort, to do things for him. But it's important for us to know that God does not call us to be like, God does not want us to do something uncomfortable, just to be uncomfortable. It's important that we need to know for sure that is what God calls us to do for him. Whatever setting that God places us, is what he wants us to do. We need to be sure of that. So God's call to Abraham involved him moving away from his comfortable life. And we need to have in mind that whatever sacrifices, whatever discomfort that God calls us to go through, to experience for him, we must be prepared to do so. Let me read out this quote from Francis Chan. But God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come true. So be prepared to put ourselves in situations or circumstances that we are totally dependent on God to guide, lead and guide us. So the first question that we come to for this morning's message is, what are your areas of comfort and security that you need to give up so that you can fulfill God's calling for you in your life? So each of us will have our different answers, different areas of comfort, different areas that God may want you to move away from in order to fulfill your calling, His calling for you in your life. Second point, be committed to God's call. After we have responded to God's call, we need to be committed to God's call. Genesis 12, 6 to 17, 27. As we look at Abraham's journey, what can we learn from his journey? Firstly, we note, he did not go immediately to Canaan. He stopped over at Haran. And Abraham, when he reached the land of Canaan, it was mentioned in Genesis 12, 6 to 20, because there was a famine in the land, a severe famine, he went down to Egypt. It's not mentioned that he sought God and asked God, what do you want me to do in the midst of this situation? He made his own decision. It's most likely he made his own decision according to his own wisdom and circumstances of that severe famine that he decided, I cannot stay here. I need to go down to Egypt where there's no famine. And when he reached there, when we read the rest of the chapter, he met with a situation. Because his wife Sarai was very fair and beautiful, he had to lie to the Pharaoh. Sarai is my sister, not my wife. He did not say not my wife, but he said, Sarai is my sister. And then he enjoyed all the protection and the provision of the Pharaoh because of Sarai. So as we make decisions, do we think that God's calling is free of difficulties? Obviously not. Abraham reached there, got famine. And when we seek to do God's call, we should not have the impression that God's call is always smooth and easygoing. When we meet with difficulties, we need to be aware that God's call may be for us to go through those difficulties that is associated with His call for our lives. So when we make our own decisions, as what Abraham did, we could find ourselves in situations that we brought about for ourselves. So we need to always seek God what He wants us to do. Even though it's according to our own human wisdom, the best decision, the best way to go down to Egypt, escape from the famine. But is that what God wants Abraham to do? So at times of difficulty in God's will, we need to continually seek God to ask Him, what is your will? What is your call? Do you want me to continue? And which way am I going to fulfill, to accomplish, keep on accomplishing your call for me in my life? And the next stage of the journey comes in Genesis 13. There's this story of Lot and Abram. God blessed both of them so much that their herds and flocks grew, and there was not enough land for both of them to survive in. The herdsmen were fighting back and forth for land, and eventually Abram told Lot, look, the land is so big. If you choose one direction, I will go the other direction. And he allowed Lot to choose. Imagine that. Abram was, I think, much older than Lot. Lot was his nephew. And during the culture of that time, Abram could have put his foot down and say, look, I choose here, you go there. But he let Lot choose. let Lot choose which direction he wanted to go. And Lot chose the plains of Jordan. Humanly speaking, is the best choice also. Fertile land, rivers, good pasture, and so on. And Abraham had to choose the hill country of Canaan. But in comparison to what he did in Egypt, when he made his own decision, he allowed God to guide him, even though it's through Lot that Lot chose the other, land of Jordan, the plains of Jordan. And Abraham ended up with the hill country of Canaan. But Abraham wanted God to lead and guide him. And he did not want to make his own decision. Through God's sovereignty, God guided him back into the land of Canaan. And that is what we should be seeking to do. Seek God's direction. Allow God to lead and guide us throughout, continually in our journey with him. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham believed in God's sovereignty and choice for him. Even though Abraham followed God's call, there were struggles in his life. When we read Genesis 15 to 17, Genesis 15 verse 3 talks about Abraham still did not have a son, even though God's covenant promise with him was to bless him, to make him into a great nation, or nations that will come out of him, kings that will come out of him. And he said, he discussed with God and said, look, I have this steward, Eliezer. Maybe he'll be my heir. Through him, I will have descendants. But God told him clearly, no, this is not the way to go. You will have your own son, Isaac. Through him, you will have your descendants. And in Genesis 16, verses 1 to 4, it was the idea of Sarai, his wife. Let me read Genesis 16, verses 1 to 4 for all of us. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So Abraham also struggled. How would this child or this son come in? And he agreed to the wife's plan. Go into the wife's handmaid and have this son, Ishmael. Yeah. So instead of trusting God completely, Abraham still had some doubts in his mind. And he hoped that through his direction, that he can help God fulfill God's plan for him. But even through these struggles, his faith continued to grow. It's mentioned throughout different parts of the chapters this morning that God's covenant, God's promise, continued to be with Abraham. Let me read through some parts of the covenant keeping. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, as I've read through already. Genesis 15, 18 to 21. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So imagine not only descendants, but also the land that God has promised is so much extensive as compared to the present land of Israel. Imagine that. God's promise to Abraham. Not only descendants, but the physical land, the extent of which was promised to Abraham. Genesis 17, verses 2 to 8. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And the last one, further on in this same chapter, verse 15 and 16, And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of thee. And finally, one last verse, 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So as we have read through the repetition of God's covenant with Abraham, and he was later renamed Abraham, God's faithfulness to Abraham is so evident throughout all these chapters. And it's the same for us. As we come as God's children, we have the promise that God will always be with us throughout our journey as a church, as individual believers. God would continue to walk with us. And our responsibility and our part is to not let go of God, to keep on walking close together with God in our lives. So as Abraham had this particular struggle, this area, that how would God provide? How would God bless him to be one from which nations, kings would arise when he had no son? How would God accomplish that? And when we come to our own lives, the second question, is there any particular area or areas in your life that you are struggling with right now? Even when you are seeking to do God's will and call in your life, or you are trying to figure out what God wants you to do for him. Is there any particular area that you are struggling with right now as you seek to fulfill God's calling for you? As I've said before, God's calling may not be smooth. There are difficulties involved. So are there any struggles that you are going through? Commit them to God. seek His will through whatever difficulties, struggles that you have. Surrender it to God. Let Him work it out in your life. And the third is, be assured of God's call. We have covered, be responsive. Respond to God's call. Be committed to God's call. And finally is, be assured of God's call. As Abraham walked with God, we have covered God's covenant with Abraham. God would bless Abraham as he walked with God. So as Abraham walked in obedience, he experienced God's blessing. We too can expect to receive God's blessing if we walk in complete obedience and surrender to His will and direction in our lives. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, let me read Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we have this promise that as we walk with God, we are contented with God's provision, God's direction in our lives. He will not leave us walking alone in our lives. We are not alone in our journey with God, in our individual journeys with God. He will not forsake us. He will hold our hand, not, of course not physically, but spiritually. He will be with us in our lives. God's presence, God's always abiding presence, would always be with us through whatever seasons, things that we go through in life, that we need to always remember and be encouraged that God is always with us. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, talks about, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise, the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. So Abraham eventually reached to the point. His journey of faith came to this peak, this momentous event in his life, that he came to the point that his faith grew so much through all the struggles that he went through, that he came to a point that he was prepared to offer Isaac, his one and only son, to God. Even when he knew that through Isaac, his only son, that descendants would come. But in his mind, he was thinking, even if I sacrifice Isaac, maybe God would raise him up again in whatever way. But Abraham's faith, we can see this accomplishment, this like totality in his action of being willing to sacrifice Isaac, his one and only son. So as we go through that, let me give reflection questions. As I've already mentioned two of them, let us spend this time in prayer. What are your areas of comfort and security that you need to give up so that you can fulfill God's calling for you? Secondly, is there any particular area or areas in your life that you are struggling with right now as you seek to fulfill God's calling for you? Even as you think about them, these two particular questions, commit them to God in this brief moment of prayer. So let us spend this 2 to 3 minutes in prayer, and then I will carry on from there. Let us spend our individual time with God. as we come to the close of this morning's message, let me close off with this prayer by this senior pastor of the U.S., the 4th Presbyterian Church in Bethesda, Maryland. He served there from 1958 until 1981, and for 14 years he was a chaplain to the U.S. Senate, serving as the conscience and confessor to the American lawmakers. So his closing prayer goes, "Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power." Amen.